Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
He's a tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, I'm joined by your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
That's strange. What was that? You know, was that your Big Al?
No, I haven't talked to anyone all day long because I had a tooth extracted earlier today, and it's been profusely bleeding and not stopping. So, I've just been silently.
Is that what a chill? Is that what a Deegan? I guess procedure is. Is that what you called it?
I dentist. Yes, I corrected.
Oh, correct.
Sorry, I don't know if you missed that, but
hanging on my kid. Okay, that makes more sense. I'm like, what the hell is that?
I had a tooth, a giant filling from when I was a kid, and because I clench my teeth at night, even though I have a night guard, eventually all of them are going to crack from the old ones. So it broke off, and they were like, well, we're going to have to do root canal. And I was like, just pull it. I'm not spending $1,000 on a root canal and $900 on a crown. Just pull it. I don't need that back tooth.
What side of your mouth is it? Is it on the top or bottom?
Top
in the right. Back? Oh, I'm on the left. Yeah, I had a tooth pulled too. I was going to say we could have been twinsies. All right. Yeah. Well, this is exciting stuff we're talking about.
You know what we do get to talk about that's so exciting. It's the perfect start to this podcast, and it's been such a great week for us because there were three red flag stoppages. You thought I was going to talk about Sounders, didn't you? But no! What an Australian Grand Prix. Did you watch it?
It's crazy.
Yes! It was nuts, but we're not going to talk about it because people on this podcast have made it clear they hate fun. They hate everything good in the world that's called F1. That's what the F stands for. Fun one. Fun number one in the world.
See if you went there.
But we will move on after we just say having both Lewis and Fernando on the dais when they were announced as the winners was amazing. Second and third place. Now if we could just get Max out of there, this could be the best season ever.
Agreed. We'll do the rest off air. You know what also was fun this weekend? It was the Seattle Sounders. That's what people are listening for, right? The Seattle Sounders.
Yeah. Well, I would say there was a fun half.
A fun outcome And we'll get into our opinions about the game. But overall, you know, we won 2-1 in Carson. It was a manic game. That game was all over the place. But we won, and you went on the road against a stiff competition like that. Now they were on the table. They're not great, but statistically in that game, they were beating us in a lot of categories. But what category matters is goals. So we win, and we'll get into that later. Leo Chu gets a goal and an assist, my young man, my son. And Jordan Morris, of course, scores again.
Yep. As always, gotta love it.
Should we get into some scuttlebutt before we get into Sounders?
Let's do some scuttlebutt, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot we could talk about, from the WNBA draft to...
Tacoma Defiance.
Tacoma Defiance winning 5-0, but what I really want to talk about, and shout out to everyone celebrating Ramadan right now, is that there's some interesting ongoings in the soccer world surrounding Ramadan, and I think it's very sociopolitical, like, it's based on what goes on in those countries. So, of course, if you were watching some of the Premier League matches this weekend, you had the referees in both the Premier League and the English Football League matches allowing Muslim players to break their fast during the match so they would actually stop the game. This was an agreement that was made in 2021, and it's awesome. I know we had players that had to do that in the past on the Sounders that would just have to not eat or drink and then play a game. So it's cool that they let that happen, and it doesn't have to hurt the team. France, on the other hand, their FA specifically told referees, do not stop the match. We will not be stopping it for any reason for breaking a fast. And I don't see what the problem is. We stop it for water breaks. It seems like stopping it for someone to be able to... I mean, because I won't say it's dangerous for them not to eat, but if you want the best out of your athletes... And it's better probably for them to be able to break fast and be able to perform at their highest after that. But more importantly, France, in an effort to fight what they view as Islamic extremism, have just basically put all common sense out the window when it comes to anyone who's Muslim. And you see it time and time again in their laws. And I mean, even, you know, a friend who... I went on that road trip this summer talking about it wasn't a rational discussion that they have. So, I mean, I think that's behind it, but I just wanted to shout out England for doing that. I mean, that's amazing. I'm glad that's the case. And I hope that, you know, more countries follow suit.
Hear, 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 hear.
Yeah, especially here, we'll say, because it is, of course, April, which is Muslim American Heritage Month. So that's a good time to do things that celebrate equality, equity, and inclusion.
Hear, hear, hear.
What about you? You got any scuttlebutt?
I won't take the credit for this one, but I do have something. This is from one of our Discord members, actually. It's not one of the questions. We have a couple of those for later. So buckle up, everyone. But I won't take the credit for this one. Combat Wombat Esquire. I wonder if he's a lawyer too. Shared a link from sportingkc.com. They have let go of defender Ben Sweat, who they had the entirety of last season. Do you recall what happened to Sweat during the Sounders match last week?
Basically got destroyed worse than almost any defender in the history of a soccer match by the one and only
Leo Chu. He got himself a red card for... Right? He's the one that got the red card, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it was two yellows.
I think so.
And one of them was Deccan Chu, likely because he was frustrustrated.
I missed something.
Can you see and our guest, Alexa, how are you?
Alexa. Yeah, I don't know why. No, thank you, Alexa. I think she jumped her cue a little bit.
When the machines,
When Skynet goes live and the robots take over the world, you got to be their friend. Otherwise, you're going to be the one they kill first. But she forgot her cue because remember, she comes in, what, at the end of the show?
Oh, yeah. No, I always forget to listen to the very, very end. Yeah, our old buddy Tor, OG Scuttlebutter.
Yeah, so she apparently got the wrong script today and decided to jump in the middle. But yeah, that was, that's it. I am assuming it's not one game that did it, but it's kind of funny if it were.
We like to think, like to think so.
Yeah, so it's, wow, this might be some scuttlebutt. Hold on, I am just seeing this. Pete Fewing is, I don't know if he's retired or he's left, but he's done as Seattle U's soccer coach. And this is huge news because, Pete, of course, is on our pre and post game show for the Sounders, but 29 seasons he's coached at Seattle U, 343 wins, 2 national titles, 5 NCAA Division I appearances, 15 conference titles, 2 National Coaches of the Year awards, 6 Regional Coach of the Year awards, and 6 Conference Coach of the Year awards. So here's a guy who has taken Seattle U to excellence. I think only one of those national titles was D1. I think the other was still when we were NAIA. I say we because I both attended Seattle University School of Law, and I teach there, and I do a radio show there. But yeah, that's huge news. I hadn't seen this. Katie Pendleton, who works for the Sounders, posted this on her Facebook story. Yeah. So I saw it in a little window and thought, wow, that is big news. Because that's 29 seasons at one school that's produced a lot of really great players. Not always MLS-level players. But
Alex rolled on.
A few. Right? My cousins.
Crazy? Yeah.
No, and there's been some other great players that have come out of there. I think there was a story about how Lamar Nagel tried to go there and he turned away. And so, yeah, so then they had a little fun together later. But, a lot of the players on the Ballard FC team are either current or, recent graduates of Seattle U. So big impact in soccer in this region, along with Seattle Pacific. I think the two organizations that historically, collegiate-wise, done the most for soccer in the area. So what big news. Congratulations, Coach Pete. I'm sure we'll still see you around Sounders stuff. But, wow, that's kind of shocking. And also, good for him. Like, he deserves
it. Yeah, and he still gets to be part of the – well, he'll always forever be part of the soccer community because of what he's done. But with on the broadcast with Jackson we'll get to just continue to see him. So that's great too. But yeah, wow, I'm glad you stumbled upon that. It would have felt terrible to find out that news.
Yeah, it was just totally random. I also saw something, I think it was the U15s. Let's see, here we go. I'm pulling it up right now. Generation Adidas Cup. Straight to the top. Both academy teams finished top of their groups in the Generation Adidas Cup. Sounders FC U15s beat Charlotte Academy 2-1, and the U17s tied Dallas Academy U17s 1-1, and then 1-5-4 in PKs. Penalties, excuse me. I know some people get really upset about that. But they also beat, I think they beat Real Madrid earlier in the group stage. So it's been, time and time again, we've shown the strength of our youth program. And the one thing Garth always said was the further you go down into our youth program, the higher the ceiling is for all those players. And we're only just now seeing them come up, with Double Air and Tevez and all those guys. And there's even more talented players below that just, if they develop just right, could be superstars for us. So super exciting to see them advancing into the further in the Generation Adidas Cup, and maybe we can win it again. We've won the last two.
Yeah, under 15's got 2.33 points per match in their group, top of the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horribly designed site. Yeah, 2.67. So same thing, basically.
Now,
for under 17, top of the group.
The other big...
Dominating.
Yeah.
Job, kids.
The other big thing we should talk about is how Twitter, where we communicate with a lot of people, changed the Twitter logo to the Dogecoin logo, and Dogecoin jumped to $4 billion in value. And we all sold our Dogecoin when it tanked before because Elon didn't say anything on SNL. So come on, man. Elon sucks.
What the hell that was? I live in a bubble, and I'm happy with it.
Well, it's because if you go online, you're going to find out sports scores. Like, you don't know what the Mariners did tonight. I'm not going to tell you, but...
Anyone with a three-year-old knows what it's like. Just be like, I'm just going to stare at the wall for the next 2 hours and then go to sleep.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's peaceful. So is being in my garage talking Sounders with you. Got any more scuttlebutt? I had something.
Anything huge. Well, if you remember, bring it up. But, I mean, I just want to shout out Brock Finston. You know, he doesn't listen to this podcast, but if anyone's been out to any of the Superhawks games, the team that I work for, the minor league basketball team that plays the Seattle Pacific, one of our best players... Amazing dude, probably the guy I'm closest to currently on the team. So with 21 seconds left in the game, suffered a terrible, terrible injury.
It was that late in the game?
Come
on now.
Yeah, he was going for, we were up three, and he was going for a loose ball and hit the other guy and came down. His foot twisted backwards. So he's good. He's recovering. Oh. He's had surgery, and hopefully we'll be able to come back. He was... Basically, we're sending a bunch of film over to Italy and going to get, you know, hopefully get some jobs for the players over in Italy if they can't make a G League squad next year. So, you know, because our season ends in June. So, super sad to see him go down. But if you're in the Seattle area and you haven't come out and you like basketball, come on out to Seattle Pacific. You can look at SeattleSuperHawks.com. We got all the games up there. Every game, 3 p.m. unless it's a, 7 p.m. unless it's a Sunday and it's 3 p.m. So, coming out, have some fun. It's super fun out there. And,
when's the next one? Is it Sunday?
We got a break because it's All-Star game. So 2 weeks. I know we play at Salem the day after the Portland match. And then there's another game in there somewhere. So we play a lot of games against Salem, Vancouver, and Wenatchee. And we beat Salem by nearly 50. We beat Vancouver by over 30, and we beat Wenatchee by over 30 one game. We also beat all those teams by less than 10 other games. So definitely super fun. Come out if you like basketball. You know, if you go to @SSuperHawks on Instagram and DM them and ask for tickets, they'll give you free tickets.
That's easy. Where's the Sounders did that?
We got to do some filming, man. We're making a docuseries about them, you and I. And
I was going to say, this is not... The place for all the drama that has been gone on is like Beverly Hills Housewives, but also
if we
basketball
get people, we won't have it all on film, but if we get people to talk about it, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know
we get reenactments, get some reenactors.
Yeah.
By the way, so this is why I love my wife. And when she said it, I was like, me too. But she's like, I don't want to be an actor. Like, I don't, like where she was watching. She likes the Lifetime movies like every once in a while. She's like, I don't want to be an actor because I feel like they just like you might end up like one of these actors, and it's still a profession. It's great job. You're just not an A-lister, right? She's like, I don't care about being famous. Like, but you know those like crime shows with the reenacting, like I want to be one of those actors, like complete no name, happy with it, no one knows who I am, but to get to just do these over the top dramatic like scenes would be hilarious. Harry Potter.
Oh, I thought I had my phone on silent. I'm sorry about that, listeners.
I'm the one that has like a disheveled garage background, and you have like it looks like a studio, and you're the one messing up this podcast.
Yeah, but right behind that door is the garage, and it's full of boxes from floor to ceiling. So since I had to unload my storage space, I was like, I can't spend this money anymore. So I'll go through it eventually. But yeah, I also would love to be a dead body on like
Law
and Order.
I'm like, okay, what the hell are you talking about? Oh yeah, you're going off of what I was saying. Okay.
Yeah. So
sorry, yeah. Dude.
Randy knows what's up. And shout out to Chicago mayor election, where they just elected super awesome guy as mayor. So lots of elections today for those people out there who aren't Sounders fans. I hope you had a good one, well, and your guy won.
Let's not get into it, but this is a date that will be in the history books, and we are recording on April 4th. But yeah, some dude is getting arraigned in New York right now. So.
Oh, yeah. Pled not guilty. Yeah. I mean, and I will say one thing about that. This is my lawyer scuttlebutt, not about the podcast.
Esquire.
This is even about politics. What people don't get is when an indictment happens, you present all the evidence as if it's against the person. And then that's when it says, okay, is there enough with all the evidence against the person? Is there enough to sustain, you know, a charge? And so that's what it is. And that doesn't always work that way. There's been some high profile cases where they've completely screwed that up, and it was a travesty of justice. But if you don't know or aren't familiar with the process, that's how it's supposed to go. So now is when we're going to go in and have the actual trials and stuff like that. And people, you know, a jury will decide. I don't know how they get a jury that's
impartial.
Impartial? Because everyone knows who the president of the United States is, so it might just be a judge trial, but they would have to request that.
That'd be interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
The defendant would. So, yeah, that's all we'll say about that. We're not getting into politics here.
And why don't we judge the Sounders and their performance against the Los Angeles Galaxy?
Schmetzer out!
All right, let's talk some Seattle Sounders soccer.
Yeah, let's talk Sounders. And here's why I think it's super important to go over the stats.
You got one of those tippy-tap keyboards, don't you?
Because if you... I was trying to bring up the stats. I should have done it beforehand. But if you look at the stats of the game, man, we got outpossessed. No, let's talk about the first half when it was fun. I'm not going to be that guy today. I was kidding. I was unhappy with the second half. But you know what? Let's talk about the first half.
Well,
it's amazing.
We'll talk about both halves. But yes, first half chronologically, and also it brings more happiness to our hearts. But we had another pinpoint cross from Leo Chu to Jordan Morris, who just had to tap it in right before he had his leg bent backwards. It always freaks me out when a keeper's coming out like that and the ball, like, the point of contact is that close to just having a horrific injury. So glad he got over that one, literally. But yeah, Leo Chu again with the pinpoint pass. But I think the real performance on that first goal was what Nico Lodero did to unlock that. Because we were just mentioning last episode that he is among league leaders in key passes and attacking third completions and things like that.
Through ball completion, which that's, if you play FIFA like the way I do, through balls are what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
But it was, and it wasn't even just like a an easy one. He was running towards the sideline and had to basically had to contort his body to get that along the outside. You're cocking your head. What do you mean?
Oh, something just popped up on my screen where I did not realize that there was a Sounder in the U.S. Open Cup today. Uh-huh. I don't know what. We'll see. I don't know. It looks like a Sounders uniform. I wasn't paying attention to the U.S. Open Cup today. We'll have to.
Are you talking about the video that James
figure it out?
Willard.
Oh, Hartford
they
Athletic, green
and they had a guy yeah. store that looks like DeAndre Yedlin.
Yeah. But then they also have a sponsor that is part of the Providence thing because it has the plus logo. So that's why I was very confused why someone wearing a Sounders jersey and the Providence logo scored a goal in the U.S. Open Cup. I was like, I thought they didn't allow the U.S. or the MLS Next teams in it. But, okay. I apologize, listeners, for taking us off track. It's one of those days.
I thought you were trying... I was like misremembering. That's a word. That goal, which I watched like 20 times. So yeah. Anyway, I think Nico really obviously he did unlock that play, but I think he was the star performer of that play. But I do love my boy Leo Chu. It's great to see. What does he have now? 5 assists. He leads MLS in assists, and he's only played 218 mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah,
that is insane.
Is this the time where we should say what do you do, or should we finish the game and then go back and say what do you do? Okay.
So throughout all that, there was that goal, and then he decides to. And I still don't know. Do you know what happened to that player that fell down on Leo Chu's goal? Okay. Mm-mm. I don't remember because shout out to Nicholas Biela, a friend of the show, friend of ours. I again was at his house with his kid, my kid, and. Another pub leaguer dad over with his kid. So we get distracted when we're watching. But I don't remember if it was actually like a serious injury or not, but it looked like a non-contact in the highlights when I was rewatching. But he probably just, I don't know. But Leo Chu was wide open. He basically got the ball, turned, and realized the dude was like writhing. And
such a great
and then
shot.
I'm leading into it. That just calmly, you can see him just target exactly where he wanted to put that ball. And Klinsmann probably could have done a little bit better, but the credit goes to Leo Chu on the goal. And I love that he took it. You know, not that he hasn't been taking, you know, some shots or doing that, but that was just like, that's your shot right there. Take it. Don't try to make a 6 assist even though you're balling out. And he got it. So happy. But throughout all that, LA Galaxy was giving us some what for. I mean, Stefan Fry, even though we gave up a goal, he won Team of the Week goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a game of two halves. They weren't – LA wasn't bad in the first half. They just weren't that dangerous. And we were able to just kind of run all over them. And then in the second half, they had all the possession. I mean, they finished with, I think it was 62% possession to our 38, but the second half probably was like 80-20. They dominated us along the way. And so it was a little frustrating, but at the same time, I think it showed that our defense could step up and get
things done. Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't say it, it's like that being said. The goal that we did give up was off a rebound, which he still almost saved that, which would have been his second double save of the game. Fry, that is. So it's like even with all of that, the ball, for the most part, stayed out of the net. One goal that we almost prevented. So.
Right. And I mean, here's the thing. The game changed. And I was joking when I said Schmitzer out. That's the running thing where I'm frustrated but it was a joke. Like you can't, the game changed. We were out. If you want to say we're out coached, you could say that, out subbed, whatever, but it was on purpose because you had to get Raul minutes. And that's what changed the game. As soon as Raul was in there and we didn't have Leo stretching the defense anymore, they were able to just possess the game entirely and just come at us over and over and over again. So, I mean, Raul had a few nice touches, a few little dangerous, I mean, they weren't that close to scoring or that close to being great plays, but you could see he still has that spark and he's going to get there, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's not like he's lost anything. It's just he's so distracted by what, you know, Leo Chu and even Hebert at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and so I think you're put in a hard place there, but you've got to get Rui Diaz minutes. You've got to get him fit. And because having everyone fit is best for our team, even if it costs us a little bit in game, long term, the dividends are going to be.
Great. When everyone's on all cylinders and bought into whatever role they will have. And the fact that we're getting points like this
now,
while we don't know what our best 11 is also, and doing it on the road is also going to pay dividends.
Exactly. And I think there's two things I really want to mention as for me that were takeaways from the game that are of note of curiosity that aren't necessarily about the game itself but about the broadcasts and what have you. You heard Taylor Twellman gushing over the Sounders in that first half, just gushing over how good we were. But most importantly, he said Jackson Reagan looks like he's going to be the next Chad Marshall. And that gives me chills. I mean, the Defensive Player of the Year award, if it's not already,
it is.
I think it might be, should be named after Chad Marshall. And Reagan, he said he stepped up and he looked.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I mean, he's not there yet, obviously. It's his, second year? Full year? Fourth year? Full year as a professional? Second year as a top-flight professional? But that is amazing. If that's, that would be just awesome. Now, the other thing is, this was the first time ever that Jackson Feltz did the halftime show by himself.
Oh, wow.
And it sounded great. He did a great job. Shout out to Jackson. I was able to listen to it. And then it felt weird because usually when I'm listening to his halftime show, it's at a home game and I'm in the bathroom because that's where they play it. So I always tell them, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, going pee
listening to you
while they're listening to you talk. I was on the light rail, so I decided maybe I wouldn't this time. But it was fantastic. Great job, Jackson. You know, friend of the show, been on here many times. Shout out to you. He actually got to travel to LA. He didn't have to do it from Seattle. So.
Got to go down there.
Yeah, so that was amazing. One thing we missed here, though, was you're drinking wine and I'm drinking water.
Oh.
I don't know. We didn't crack them open. So if you haven't yet and you partake in beverages of either the alcoholic or non-alcoholic type.
Yeah, we'll do a cheers right now. Cheers. Yeah, I'm just drinking wine.
To Leo Chu, may your goals be plenty and your assists be even
chugga,
more plentiful.
Chugga, 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 Yeah, I'm not There's drinking problem. A beer. I didn't want to go
We already have the new Hoo Choo Choo.
My kid was being a kid.
But we already have... I'm not worried about that problem. I'm worried about the fact that we already have the new Hoo Choo Choo. So how can we now have the chugga, chugga, choo? Okay, that's fine. I still want to bring in Hoonu from... Minnesota, so we have new who and who knew.
Or this could be the same train. I mean, a lot of freight engines or trains have an engine in the back and the front. Leo's the front.
That makes sense.
New Who's the caboose. Yeah.
And New Who is definitely the caboose. There's a restaurant in Tigard, Portland, or outside of Portland, called the Pizza Caboose. And I just drove past it the other day. What the heck? Who wants something called the Pizza Caboose? I don't want pizza from or near a caboose.
Comes from the caboose. But you're talking about it right now, aren't you? So it's working. They got you. They got you.
They did their job. They got me. They got
me. Tiger?
Yep. That's Tiger. I think it's like Tiger. I don't know. I don't pronounce it right. I'm not from Oregon.
That's how the East Coast is, isn't
it? I know. And then they say Spokane and Gonzaga and Nevada.
Well, I have
Colorado.
Elder conservative Minnesotan family, so they sound Minnesotan. That's not East Coast, but it's
Minnesota.
It's quite an accent. It's funny to hear them say the things out here. Second half.
Second half.
We already have an idea of it, but what?
Yeah, we had 15 quality minutes with that were okay with Drew still in the field, and then we basically I give us maybe a D plus from then on. I understand why, like I said, we had Raul in there. Our defense shouldn't have to sustain that much pressure. I don't know if we purposefully were trying to park the bus, but it just felt like we couldn't string passes together the same way that maybe we're used to seeing.
Yeah, let me pull it up here.
I mean, the final stats, and of course, this is both halves, so they come together, but the final stats, you know, they had 62% possession. We had 38
shots.
We only had 408 passes. Yeah. They had 28 shots to our 9. They had 633 passes.
13-2 in corners. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end they're having corner after corner. Like, so
it was so nerve-wracking that it's hard to kind of like calmly remember everything that happened. Like it was a barrage.
Yeah,
like
I was at the Mariners game and had it up on the good old Apple TV, like set up on my drink holder, watching it while I watched the Mariners lose.
Yeah, that's been rough. I'm looking at the subs here. So we got an Obed sighting.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
Yeah, it was Chu off. Did you notice that, by the way, when Chu was coming off? Not in a bratty way, but he looked at Schmetzer and gave it like a what the hell with his hands as he was walking, and he still smiled and gave Raul a double high five, what have you. But I agree with Leo Chu on that one. Usually I'm like, player, just get on the bench. It's the coach's decision. There's a reason for it, yada yada yada. And we know that Raul needed minutes, but I don't know about taking Leo Chu off for him.
I mean, he could have come in.
Or Jordan.
You know.
Jordan's played like every minute of every game.
Or come in for Rusnak and move Jordan over to the right. Like, there's lots of things that could have happened.
They'll choose arguably. I mean, arguably because there's one other player, and that's Jordan Morris. But he's our hottest player right now with the assist, and he got that goal, right? So, maybe it's, well, as you were saying, that changed the whole dynamic of the midfield, gave LA Galaxy space because they didn't have to worry about the wings opening up. So, you know, take Chu off a little bit later, I guess, and then rework it. But anyway,
I'm good with the early sub for a couple of reasons. One, I think Schmetzer has a tendency, it's not as bad as Siggy, but to do those late subs, they're a little bit too late.
That felt like it should have been a 75 minute though, not 60.
I mean, you want to get Raul 30 minutes. So I think it's more who we could question who he was sub for. Like, and back to what you said about when he came off. I wonder if the discussion before the game and when the subs were going to happen changed, and that's why Leo Chu reacted that way. I don't know. I mean, it felt like being up 2-0, we were on our way to another blowout, and then it just kind of
went away.
And then it became a nervy game. Yeah. It was just I felt lucky to get away with 3 points, let alone one, but based on how it was going. But that credit to our defense, credit to Fry. You know, I think we saw Jordan on the Leo was, of course, player on the team of the week, yeah. But we saw Jordan also on the honorable mentions.
Like I'm one of them. I almost made it. Nuhu comes in for Russ Knack in the 69th minute, giggity, giggity. And that was because Alex was starting on the left, Christian on the right, so you had the roll-down wingbacks. I guess they're playing more as fullbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what's going on. But yeah, that made sense. Yeah. And then we got our Obed sighting on that one. Javier comes in for Jordan in 90th. Guess you got to give him minutes and give Jordan a break, right? And that's clearly to shore up some defense. But I don't like putting Mr. Oopsies like in that late.
I mean, he's not alone on an island though. Like he's at that point, we are parking the bus, and I'm okay with it at that moment. That's late enough in the game where it's just good.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm just saying, just his track record and the way the game was going, and with at that point there was still 5 minutes of stoppage time to play and everything that was going on. It's just like, that's Mr. Oopsies around craziness is not usually going to end up well. So we got out of there. I do think the better team won. I don't think stole anything. I think we withstood a portion of the game that inflated the stats to their favor. And there's one thing we do have to talk about too. I'll let you get to your thought here, but we also have to talk about the elbow ball, but just because it popped in my head.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that first. I watched the replay 3 times. I thought it, I mean, granted I was watching on my phone. I thought it went off his butt every 3 times, all 3 times. So I didn't see, did it. Okay. Well, technically under the rules that should have been a handball then. I think it's a stupid rule. I think it should go back to being intention like it used to be, where if you were trying to move your hands away and it still hit one, mm-hmm. like you had your hands behind your back and it hit your hands, then they wouldn't call it. Now it's if it hits it, they call it. So the intent and the referee doesn't get any say in that anymore. They took that away. But it hit his elbow.
So did you see it, or did you just going off of what I told you?
I saw the replay 3 times. Hit his butt. If you're saying it hit his elbow, then
oh, okay,
that's what I thought. But if you're saying it actually hit his elbow, then should have been a penalty.
And that's the conversation is the way his arms were. I wouldn't say resting, but the way they were placed behind his back. I mean, his hands were behind. Here's my opinion: not a handball. A lot of people, it should be straight back. Like your arms should be straight down with your hands clasped behind your back to show that you are not making
you have
an
to have
effort,
back.
Right?
You can't
like,
have your
clearly,
elbows
Clearly, yeah, you're not making effort if you do that.
Effort's out the rules now, though. That's the thing. That's why it doesn't matter. That's why it was a handball. They changed the rules a couple years ago. If it touches your elbow there, it's a handball.
Even with
there's
the
There's no longer oh, effort wow. or intent. Yep, that's all gone. It's no longer, there's no, the referee's not supposed to have any,
so
that's why it's stupid. The way you're calling it is correct. I agree with everything you're saying, but they've changed the rules.
Well, then that is stupid. Then you just can't have arms.
MLS is stupid.
The throw-ins would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that means you literally can't have arms. Like, if you're flailing a boot, then I guess, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a handball. But his and arguments, Greg Vanney did his best Squidward impression. I don't know if I forget who it was on Twitter, but it was that Squidward. I don't know if it's even a meme, but it's just that iconic shot of Squidward with his hands on his hips, his hands, his tentacles, just kind of looking like in disdain at likely SpongeBob. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Anyway, Greg Vanney was getting his point across that the fact that there was that angular, his elbows were out angular. I can't speak, which is terrible for a podcast. But you know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to describe my body while I'm talking. But instead of just clasped right behind his back, they were out like two little triangles, like Doritos on the side of his body. That's what hit his elbow. Now, if you're moving around, it's hard to keep your arms straight back behind you. And these aren't stationary players. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's one thing stand there and be like, what? It's weird to be like this when it's normally like this. This is what's natural. It's like, but if you're running around, and this is an instantaneous moment here. So that's where I think it's bullshit. But if the rule has been changed as of who knows when, that's asinine. And whatever. We got the points. I think the right call
we got the was points.
The non-call was the right call, but clearly I must be wrong.
We got the points. That's what matters. You know, it's a gutty road win at a time where we needed one because of we're trying to hang with St. Louis and LAFC, which brings me to the next thing I want to talk about. Power Ooh. Rankings. Last week, we were fourth in MLS's power rankings. We've moved up to third after our win. St. Louis City dropped from second to fourth after their loss. And they continue to have LAFC at number one, despite losing or tying 0-0 Colorado, perhaps the worst team in the MLS. Now, especially now that
the team that we beat for nothing,
Jack Price is done. Yeah,
right. Yep.
So, granted, it was in Colorado, but still. Now, if we go to the clearly superior rankings, the rankings from people who have a brain, from people who aren't anti-Sounders, from people who know soccer forwards and backwards, ESPN has the Sounders as number one in the power rankings for the second week in a row. They flipped FC Cincinnati from third or from fourth to third, and St. Louis from third to fourth, but otherwise the top five remain the same. Sounders, LAFC, FC Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Nashville. Pretty great.
Worldwide leader in soccer.
Worldwide leader in sports.
LAFC has 11 points. 3 wins, 2 draws. Scored 9 goals.
Yep.
Given up 3. We've scored 3 more goals and given up the same amount. So we have a better differential. I guess they've played one less match.
Mm-hmm.
But that still puts them at 2.2 points per game to our 2.17, 2.5 to St. Louis, who we'll talk about in a moment. 2.3 Cincinnati. Jesus.
Yeah, Cincinnati's playing real well. I mean, it's their win against us.
Number 2.
I mean, yeah, Garth is killing it right now
over there. Gonzo. Gonzo and Garth. And
visit him later this year.
That's a 70s cop show.
I know. So much fun.
Are you an Atlanta fan? Not like fan, but you know what I mean. Like, are you on the like end of the scale versus dislike?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first few years, because we, you know, Grill FC had hosted a couple of their fan groups before when they were going around and seeing how other MLS teams did it.
While they were in the league? Or
during that time?
Before. Oh, okay.
No, before they joined. Cool. Like in the couple of years before they joined. So, you know, when they first started, I was into it. And then once they won their championship, I was like, ew.
Forgot they won.
Not into it now. Although now that Garth is there and Gonzo is there, and I don't know if Ozzy's still on their roster. I don't know what they did once Garth got there, but it's hard not to like them. I think I worry about where they're going to be versus us, and we're going to have to compete against them.
Atlanta.
So good. That's got to be interesting for Ozzy and Garth.
Pineda.
I'm sure they've had lots of conversations over the years.
Played with him.
Yeah, but I mean, remember Garth was the one that let Ozzy go because they thought you know, he doesn't, basically his reasoning, and I agree with it, it turned out that Ozzie turned it around. He wasn't able to be on the field enough to make his value worth it for what he was getting paid. Then he went to Minnesota and didn't get hurt and kept playing. And then last year he was hurt.
He's got no minutes.
He's apparently back on the roster.
I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still recovering from his injury, I think, from last year. So I would imagine he's not fully healthy. But you know, gotta love Garth and Gonzo and Ozzie in the same place.
So much.
You know,
yeah.
Ozzie. Yeah, but here's the thing: is we've been blessed, right? Like, you go from Ozzie to Gustav Svensson, who is amazing, to João Paulo. Is there someone else in the middle there we're missing?
I feel like there is.
Well,
not really.
Either way,
because.
But then we have Obed. Like, we are so good at center offensive mid. It's insane.
Because it was 2019 that he went to Minnesota, and that's when we had Goose. We had Goose for a couple of years, and yeah, and then 2022 was Joao, or was it 21? 2021.
Midway through. Gustav
no,
was there in
yeah, but Joao Paulo came to us.
Yeah, so Joao was 2021.
He missed all of last year. He was halfway through. Anyway, yeah, I just miss El Corazon. He's the only player ever,
of course. He was,
and it's been multiple times now, that has liked or retweeted one of my Scuttlebutt tweets. Hmm. So
that's cool.
Forever in my El Corazon.
My buddy, Roman Torres, who was just in town to play against the Tacoma Stars. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him, but I saw lots of pictures. He follows me on his Twitter, so I get likes every once in a while from him. He's such a nice dude. Back when he would play for the Sounders, I was going to help him set up a nonprofit so that he could basically have his nonprofit from back home and a nonprofit here, and then they work together. So sadly, that was right before all of the stuff happened that got him banned, and then he ended up moving on. So, but Roman, we will always have a place in our heart for you as well.
Absolutely. Should we talk about St. Louis? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we're going to have, final thoughts, good win, gutted it out, on to the next.
Bring them on.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a little mini episode later this week with some St. Louis people talking about it, but we might as well talk about it as well, because St. Louis had their first loss, finally.
So, were you hoping, or did you not care? Did you want them to win or lose? Be undefeated and come to Lumen, and then we take them down?
I don't particularly care, but I prefer that they weren't undefeated, just because I feel like when you're undefeated, there's a feeling around that you might never lose. And it's not that you take things lightly. It's that it steps you up, especially in that first year. I remember I thought the Sounders were never going to lose until Casey Keller got that red card against Kansas City.
I remember that.
And then that was the first loss we ever had. Yeah. It was around this time, actually, which
I didn't even run out of the box because
it was
and handled the ball like yards outside the box on the left.
Yeah, because it was Easter weekend, which I know because I used to work my friend's booth at SakuraCon every year, and he came to the game with me after SakuraCon. So
around Easter,
So it's moved now, but it was then. So. Yeah, it was around the same time that happened, and I think that maybe they have to ask some real questions of themselves now. Like, oh, we're not just going to keep winning. They have great players. Don't get me wrong, but so good. I mean, I don't even know who that dude is.
He's so good. I don't know who he is.
No, I mean, like before now, I'd never heard of him. Is what I mean. Like,
dude, that guy's so
good.
I
had never heard of him. Total aside, but it reminds me of when I was a kid. I remember we had I only spoke French, but we had a friend whose little sister spoke only French and German, no English. So I would just say to her in French, "I don't speak French or German." And then she would just laugh and laugh and laugh. Anyway, yeah, St. Louis has been hot. They're undefeated.
And not even undefeated. They hadn't tied. They were on a five-game win streak to start the season.
Yeah, but... Yep, but they lost to Minnesota, who, of course, is a good team. You know, number nine in the power rankings. I often, of course, it's haven't yet this season, but often appear on the Pot on You Loons podcast. So that's always exciting. Good friends of ours come on our show, and we go on their show. You know, St. Louis has to play us and Cincinnati now. So, two of the three teams ahead of them in the power rankings.
Play Cincinnati next.
That's tough. So it's not that. So they're about to face some actually tough teams. Yeah. I don't know where the Cincinnati game is, to be honest. It'll be interesting. Oh. On the latest episode, while you're looking that up, I'm not caught up. Don't tell me anything. I'm still finishing the second season
of Love is Blind.
On the latest episode of Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso, come on, man. On the latest episode of Ted Lasso, they did In Memory of Grant Wall.
Wait, what now? No, I heard what you said.
At the end of the latest episode of...
I told you I live in a bubble. Grant Wall is dead.
He died during the World Cup.
Huh.
Wait, you didn't know this?
No.
During the semifinal, while having it, he had like an aortic eruption and died in the press box while covering the game. They took him to the hospital, but he...
Wow.
Yeah, in the Argentina semifinal.
Where have I been?
I don't know. He's been dead for a long
time.
Well,
that's not a long time, but also that is insane circumstances.
Yeah, right? He died doing what he loved is the only thing. We thought, here's the thing, his brother went on Twitter afterwards and said he was murdered. It seemed like that could be a possibility because...
He was outspoken.
You know, he was outspoken about everything that was going on there in Qatar. He was outspoken about their treatment of LGBTQ folks. But in the end, the U.S. had his body brought back because his wife worked as part of the transition team for Joe Biden. So the government had the body come back and had the body, they did an autopsy, and they found that, I don't remember the exact cause of death, but I believe it was just like he had
an aneurysm,
like his aortic aneurysm.
Jesus Christ.
And the aorta. So yeah, he died. And so imagine also being his friend who's there covering the game and you're watching him die like right next to you while they're trying to bring him back.
I am floored. So, I can't believe. I mean, I will say this: I was unemployed, so I was a little distracted and not soccer. Like I
during the World Cup, were you unemployed that long ago?
December, all of December, all of January.
Wow,
I'm employed now.
So
though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Wow. So yeah, Grant Wall
Rest
passed
in power,
away.
My friend.
There's, I don't know if you ever saw the picture of me wearing at the hospital when I fell down my stairs and thought I broke my foot. I'll share it. I'm actually wearing the Grant Wall Foundation jersey they made. That all the profit went to the foundation.
Well, sorry, listeners, that we got off topic again, but yeah, I kind of had to be brought to reality there. That's insane. Hey, by the way, which step did you fall down from? Was it near the top or the bottom?
Like four from the bottom. It could have been a lot worse.
Knowing that you're okay, I kind of wish it was the top one. Just to watch
it. If it was the top, I probably would have broke my neck.
And you still end up the same end. Falling down the stairs.
Yeah. Like one of those slow falls.
Oh, no. Tumbles. Oh, my God.
Like Homer Simpson going down the cliff after the ambulance brings him back up when he tries to ride the skateboard across, and he falls, hits it everything down, and then they bring him back up, and then he falls and hits it every way down again.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. So St. Louis, they are playing. Oh Jesus. Yeah. April. Oh, they're playing in St. Louis at City Park.
Oh.
Bummer. Okay.
Wow. I was going to say, while you're looking that up, we can talk about how Chelsea tied Liverpool today, which is a huge result after firing their manager. But we can move on now, since my Chelsea team is in 11th and doesn't look like they're going to be able to get into Champions League spot, being 11 points behind Man United, and Man United has two games in hand. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway. So you are indifferent, but overall, you would prefer that they go into their match with us with a loss.
Okay. A loss or a just tie. I mean, I just didn't want them to go in totally check kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you. It's just, but knowing if I knew we were going to win, then I obviously want them to be undefeated. And I just am an internal optimist when it comes to this team. So, I would have loved that storyline just because there's so many teams, Atlanta, LAFC, now St. Louis, that are the expansion team that's doing phenomenally well. But we invented that, right? So
Yeah, Atlanta thought they were going to do better, and then they only won one championship, so sorry.
And no U.S. Open Cups and no Shields. Well, do they have a Shield? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they won.
Don't care. Don't look it up. They don't. But yeah, that I guess from a storyline perspective, I would want them to come in undefeated, all wins, and then us to just whoop their ass. Which, you know, I think 5 wins is nothing to scoff at. That's not an accident. That's a good team. That's a good. They've got, like mm-hmm. we're saying, whoever that Joao Klaus guy is. Like, he's good. I'd love. It's a bummer we couldn't get your contacts on from St. Louis for this one. And yeah, I hope we do get to talk to him, because I'd like to get some insight on how
hopefully they we'll get a little
built
bit.
And how like they came to be, just in comparison to how we came to be.
They did note that because they're newer to MLS, they are not always. They know the game of soccer, but they're still learning the insides and outs of MLS.
Shit, I don't even know that shit. it changes every fucking year.
Yeah, seriously, all over.
Yeah, no, I know soccer. Changes. I don't know MLS. that's most MLS fans, I feel. And I guess I should say they're not. I'm not really an MLS fan. I love our league because my team's in it, right? If the Sounders were another league, that's my league. I want U.S. soccer to do well. I want us to be up there in a top tier internationally, because we get to see better quality product on the field. You know what I mean? Like that. That's why I want to be up there and actually be in the Club World Cup and be a favorite. Right. So, any hoots. Should we go?
Yeah. So, what's
your prediction? Yeah, I was going to say, should we go predictions?
I mean,
well, we're at home.
Yeah, predictions and lineups. I mean, I think that's the hard part for me is lineup, right? Because what are we going to do?
Let's start with lineup, because that leads right into how well we're going to do, how well we think we're going to do, and therefore a prediction. And then we get our Discord questions. Join our Discord. Link is in the show description. I'll let you start.
I want to see the same lineup we've been seeing, but with the proper left and right backs, of course.
Nuhu and Alex on the right. Okay. So that puts Christian up top on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan up top and Leo Chu with Nico.
Yep.
Rusnak. So your bench.
Rusnak. Yeah.
Rui.
Yeah, I think we bring him off the bench again. Unless he's 100% fit.
I agree with that. I don't care if he's 100% fit. He's going to get his opportunities in the second half. You score a goal. We don't know what they do in practice. But it doesn't matter how much money you pay somebody. That's off the field. We need to continue winning games. And messing this up right now looks worse. And it looks worse for Raul. You know, if he comes out there and we aren't scoring goals. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Raul. I think he, I mean, Deuce is one of a kind. So is Oba, for that matter. Right? But Raul is right up there.
Raul's
he
a
is
top five
the most
for me.
Fearful, yeah. I think, striker we've had.
Feared?
Yeah.
Feared.
And yeah, feared.
Fearful, but you said fearful because he's the striker who stands up there and just gets real small and says, "I don't want to be here. I'm afraid of these defenders."
Oba had that too, though. You know what I mean? But I think the consistency and I think we've had Raul for at least a year longer now than Oba.
I think
just right. Because of that, the numbers. Give it to Raul for me in terms of most feared strikers. Deuce was just one of a kind and also could do anything he wanted. But he was in the tail end of his career when he joined us. Yes, he was in his prime, Joe Roth. He was 31. And that's, I think, Raul's age now, 31, 32. Something right? Am I wrong, right? I don't know. Don't look it up.
No, I think that's right.
Right now we have an investment paying dividends on the left wing, and for that matter, as a striker up front, in Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris is still, he is in prime of his career, even though he had his floor seemed so high already to start his career with his setbacks, with all the U.S. men's national team bullshit. Like, this looks like what everybody always wanted out of him. And it's because of Leo Chu. It's because of the formation. It's because of where he is. Cannot screw that up right now. And I want Raul to get his opportunities. I don't really like the like-for-like sub with Leo Chu. I think you need to find a better way to do that instead of just painting it or showing everyone right up front. He is coming off for him. Let's see who does better. Let's see if he can do something. I don't really like that direct competition, even though we know it's there. I'd like that mixed a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to see what does it look like. How can you make Jordan, Leo, and Raul work? I don't know it right now, but how could you? Like that would be cool.
I mean, two at the top. Two at the top is what I think you do it. And then you only have one center defensive mid.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think our defense has been strong enough that I think we're trying at least. Just try it, yeah.
I mean, what's it going to hurt? A second loss in our first 7-8 games? That's okay.
Yeah.
I
mean, and we can change. No, we can change in mid-game if it's not working. Well,
yeah, fair enough. I just mean, like, if the overall outcome of a game means it's a loss just to see what it looks like, I would take that. I'll take it. Just write it off. Mm-hmm. All right, not going to work. Like, Freddie, sorry, you can't start anymore, Freddie. It's just not going to happen. Your sprint is a walk now. Sorry. It's just... You're so technically skilled still, and you still got the brain smarts, but he's getting run around. So he's not going to start anymore. We already know that. Good. Glad we know that. Got a loss and a draw out of that experiment. And then we struck... Yeah. I don't know. What's more precious metal than gold in this universe? I guess gold is a construct. But technically, everything's a construct. So... Yeah, I agree with you, I guess. It's my long answer, my short answer to my long answer.
Yeah. So what's your score prediction then?
Not being familiar with St. Louis, only knowing that they've been able to win games. They're going to score. Right? They're going to score one goal. I think we score three. If Leo Chu starts and Jordan starts in that same position. I think it's a draw.
Love it.
We sneak a win. If it's anything, if it's a full revert back to, okay, we got our quote-unquote best 11 back and healthy. And, you know what I mean? So I'd be worried about that because that would just change the way we've been playing, which has been very, very good. Very well. So that would be my concern. I don't think we lose this game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 2-2. We're on the road. St. Louis has been great. You know, I think they probably could learn some stuff from L.A. on how to attack us. But it could easily be 5-0 us. So, but I'm going 2-2.
And reminder, everyone, he had a tooth pulled.
Yeah, that's why it sounded a little funny.
2-2. Okay. It's a typical Aaron and Cameron prediction. I don't think I've ever predicted a loss. I don't think I've ever done it. Well, Discord questions. Promise them, and then we'll get into port.
Yeah, let's get to them.
All right. Well, I spoke of Nick earlier. Nicholas Biela, he did this on Twitter last time, and I didn't check Twitter while we were recording. I checked the Discord, so he put it on here. Which group will have more goals this season? Nico and Jordan, or Raul, Hebert, and Christian? So I think he means if you combine Nico and Jordan's goals and combine Raul, Hebert, and Christian's goals, what group would have the most cumulative? I believe that's what he means.
That's tough because, you know, somebody's going to be the odd man out. I think I'm going to go Nico and Jordan just because Jordan already is the leading goals.
Fair. I mean, it was only last week that he said that, so that was prior to LA Galaxy, and you're still right. Jordan was at six goals at that point. Yeah. And I love also in the Discord, G Willow says that needs more Leo Chu. No, it's like that hits me in the feels.
Shout out to G Willow Wilson.
Here's Eric 13. Is the current Sounders squad the best team in MLS history or not? Like for real though. AKA not hyperbole. I like that was me, but I think I just want to make sure he wants us to know that he's not being hyperbolic. And you were saying this about our team last year. So what do you think now?
Yeah. This is tough because, I mean, talent wise, probably yes. It's just we have a glut at the same position. And we don't have depth at the wing backs, and that might hurt us.
We don't have depth yet.
We'll
see. Something
could
happen.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to see what this team becomes after the summer transfer window, if we bring in another DP or a TAM level player. You know, I think potentially, yes, it could be. I will say it's better than last year simply because we have JP.
Because we have JP healthy and playing like JP.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Best ever. Definitely could be. It's hard to say that right now because of what we were just saying. We don't even know what is this best 11, or is there a best 11? If Schmetzer blows your mind, Cameron, and can figure out how to use these players both pregame in the lineup, and then in a game. Tactical subs at the right time, in the right spot, in the right position, with the right role.
Nico as a super sub. Think about when Dempsey came back after his heart surgery, and you had that level of skill coming off the bench against players who are tired. Nico as a super sub.
Yeah, but right now Nico is one of the best midfielders in the league, statistically.
I know. But I think if he was a super sub, he would continue.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Raul?
Less minutes, and we would be better overall. I told you I want to see Raul and Jordan at the top.
Yeah, but
together.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Raul coming in as a super sub when players are tired, being the flea?
I don't know if he plays the same way, but yes, potentially.
Well, you don't
yes,
know if
you're correct.
Ladero would play the same way. I'm just being devil's advocate. Not saying you're wrong.
Yeah. No. What I mean is Raul has large swaths of the game where he doesn't seem like he's there. It's not that he's not. It's that he's doing other things. And he needs those single chances to make something happen. Right. Yeah. Whereas you see Nico involved from the moment he steps on the field.
Constantly.
I mean, look at what happened last year when he was subbing in off of injury and how good we got when he was on the field. Nico, that is.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hear me out on this one to make us possibly, I don't know who we would get in, but what do you think about trading, or probably selling, but both are an option because of our league. Not Obed, not Atencio, but Danny Leyva getting some cash money and using that, because I think he could get a pull. He's got very high potential. He just doesn't have a lot of opportunity right now. And Obed's going to get that, and Atencio's going to get that. You know Schmetzer loves Atencio. We know what Obed can do. And we know what Leyva can do, but it hasn't been as good as either of those, or at least my eye test. Freeing up that logjam a little bit and then getting a left or right back. Because obviously we got starters.
We're going to see one of those players go.
One of those three.
Without a doubt. Yeah, could be on loan, though. Might not be selling. Could be on loan. But I think we're going to see one. Now, there was reports of interest in Leyva in Mexico.
That's true.
So that could be interesting. I don't know. It's tough. I would rather... I mean, yes. But also, you got to remember, those players are also playing at Tacoma Defiance.
That's true, but that doesn't free up anything develop. For our roster. No. To get a left or right back. I don't just mean getting rid of one of them for the logjam. I meant taking advantage of
that. Yeah, so I'm going to say I'd rather get rid of Arriaga.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
$600,000 contract. He's eating up a large chunk of the salary cap. Considering he doesn't play very many minutes, he seems a logical one to go.
Okay. No, that's a DUH there. So Eric 13, my answer is yes, when we shore up the left or right back spot by getting rid of Arriaga, who is likely our weakest link. Because I love the talent of every single player on this team right now. And I still like Arriaga. I'm not trying to dog him. He's just not he's probably the worst of the top 13, 14. I mean, I think he's better than Double A or overall. I think he's better than like Double A or what's his name? Ethan Double A? Yeah. So, and he costs us a lot of money. He's not going to get a lot of playing time with Reagan playing the way he is. So, I agree with you.
And he deserves a chance somewhere. I mean, someone will take it. Someone will want him because he plays. I mean, he plays for his team in the World Cup. Man,
I was just going to say
that. I'm sounding weirder and weirder as my mouth tires out from my surgery.
Well, then let's put your mouth to sleep. I think that's the last one. You said Schmetzer out, and we got a question mark. I think you got to be a little more clear that you're joking when you say that, even though sometimes I don't think you are joking.
Oh, yeah. It was the second half. That was my question. No, I mean, it depends. I'm not joking. There's no reason he should be gone right now. He's proven this year that he is up for the job, and I like what we're seeing.
I love what we're seeing. And I love seeing you on social media, Cameron. Where can I find you?
At Legal Minded Punk on Twitter and Instagram and wherever else you might be able to find social medias.
And I'm on Twitter, Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. We're in port now. Take it away, James.
Yep. Oh, wait, James. Just a second, James. I just want to say one thing. You know, shout out to Elijah Lewis, who passed away from gun violence earlier this week in Seattle. He was an up-and-coming great leader in Seattle who was really actually working on gun violence, and just a really sad loss for our community. So, keep his friends and family in your thoughts. Take it away, James.
Go Sounders. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.